Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Jude. Little book of Jude, just before the book of Revelation. It doesn't have but one chapter, Jude. And we're going to read two verses of Scripture. Did you know that you're supposed to keep yourself in the love of God? Do you know that? That's what the Bible says. Look with me, one chapter. Jude, verses 20 and 21, and the Bible says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank You, we praise You, Father, for this opportunity to gather in this house. God, it's especially wonderful to me, God, today, to see old friends. And God, to be able to introduce them to a church that I love as much as I love them. God, I thank You for that. But God, we didn't come here, God, the glory in old friendships, or even new friendships. But Lord, we came to worship You. And God, to hear You, Lord, speak to our hearts. God, I pray You'll do that today. I pray, Father, if there be one in this house that's lost, God, I pray today that God, You'll speak to that heart. And God, they'll get saved, gloriously saved. And I pray, God, that we as Christians will learn and grow. And God, that we'll draw nigh to Thee. God, glorify Your Son in every heart, in every life that's here. And God, we'll give You all the praise and all the glory. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Jude said, keep yourself in the love of God. What a strange thing for him to say. But beloved, it's not strange if you are a preacher like me and you've been preaching for a while. I mean, if you've seen soul after soul after soul come into the church, you've seen them flourish in the Lord for a year or maybe 2 years or maybe 5 years. And then suddenly one day, they're gone. They're gone. It's not strange if you, beloved, are haunted by face after face after face of people who used to serve the Lord, who used to live for Him, beloved, who used to love Him, who used to be faithful and true to Him, and then suddenly, beloved, they turn away from the love of God, and they turn to the world and the flesh and the devil. And oh, how many times has that happened, even in this church. Even in this church. And I believe this is one of the best. In fact, I believe it's the best church I've ever pastored. But we've seen it. You know, I could write a book. Beloved, if we had every person here who has joined this church, who has professed the Lord in this church, beloved, our new building, listen, wouldn't begin to contain them. Wouldn't begin to. One of the most heartbreaking things for me as a pastor is to see people that you love, fall away, beloved, back into sin, back into apathy for God, back into rebellion against God. Heard about one this week. Young man. Attended church here for, I guess, about 2 years. He was faithful. I mean, just as faithful. He, beloved, he served, he worked. I could stop right now and show you things in this church, show you his handiwork that he did, beloved, while he was here. And he loved God and served God. And then one day, he and his family gone. And nobody knows why. Nobody knows why. And then I heard this week that that young man died. He died. He died not serving. He died, beloved, not obeying. He died not living for God. And it breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. And you wonder, what went wrong? What happened to him? Beloved, that's why Jude warns us, keep yourselves in the love of God. But what is that? What is the love of God? Folks, the love of God is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The love of God, beloved, is the gospel. The love of God, beloved, is all that God in Christ has done for you to save your never-dying soul and all the blessings that God has bestowed upon you. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. Think about the love of God like a great sea, beloved, an endless sea that reaches, beloved, that reaches for everyone because God loves everyone. And in that sea, beloved, are all of God's blessings and God's goodness. But beloved, to be a part of those blessings, to have those blessings and God's goodness, be they spiritual blessings or material blessings or physical blessings, beloved, you've got to be in the sea. In the sea. In the love of God. It's wonderful, it's fantastic, yet so many, beloved, will partake of God's love for a season, and then they'll turn from it and turn to the world, beloved, that doesn't love them and doesn't care about them. So today I preach you a sermon on how to keep yourself in the love of God. And don't you dare say, preacher, I don't need that sermon. I've been saved a long time. Preacher, I don't need that sermon because I'm spiritual. Paul says, beloved, if we think ourselves to be something when we're nothing, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. Beloved, how do we keep ourselves in the love of God? First, beloved, you have to be in His love. Now, let me say that again. You have to be in His love. Folks, you can't keep yourself in His love if you are not in His love. And again, I give you the picture of that sea. Are you in the sea, beloved? It's not that God don't love you, but are you in His love? Beloved, listen to me. In other words, beloved, what I'm saying is a conversion must take place in your life. In your life. And that begins, listen to this, with an attraction. With an attraction. An attraction to Christ takes place, beloved. Takes place when you get saved. I mean, you know, you're going along with your life and suddenly one day you hear the gospel. Now, maybe you've heard it 1,000 times before. Oh, but that day, beloved, is different. Because that day, beloved, you see yourself and you see your sin. And guess what? You see Jesus. You see, beloved, the one that can wash those sins away, that can set you free, and you are attracted to Him. That's the Holy Ghost, folks. That's the Holy Ghost showing you your sin, showing you, beloved, the blessed Savior, and suddenly you desire Him. You desire Him. That's God calling. Amen. Beloved, that's the Father drawing you to Christ. Jesus said, no man cometh unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. It's not the preacher that draws you. It's not your family that draws you. And it's not your friends that draw you. If it is, beloved, what you got is no good. Listen, it must be the Father that draws you. That draws you. And when He draws you, you are attracted to Christ. I've told this before. And I thank you, brother, I'm going to. And y'all, I'm afraid y'all don't believe me. But I'm telling you, this is the honest to goodness truth, that God is my witness. This is just the way it happened. I was in the seventh grade. Martha was in the sixth grade. I was new at Gardner School. Hadn't been there long. Ralph Will remembers it, I'm sure. I was in the lunchroom one day. Martha come through the door. Now, I'd seen Martha before. Not much. She walked in that lunchroom that day, and I don't know why. But beloved, I was suddenly attracted to her. I mean, it was like she had flowers growing out of her ears and a glow around her. Boy, she was so beautiful. And I turned to those guys at that table in the seventh grade, and this is what I said. I'm going to marry her. As God is my witness, I'm going to marry her. I desired her, beloved. I wanted to know her. I wanted to be with her forever. Somebody says, preacher, that's crazy. What's crazy about it? Beloved, that's what happened between me and Jesus. Amen. That's what happened. Listen, Brother Larry Barber come to my house. Beloved, on a Saturday night, I had heard about Jesus all my life. I was raised, beloved, in the church. I had gone to church, but he came, and beloved, those people, when I was coming up, they talked words I didn't understand, like justification and redemption and atonement. And I didn't know what all of that meant, but that night, Brother Larry came. He began to talk to me. And he talked about forgiveness. Boy, I knew what forgiveness was. And I know that's what I needed. And he talked about Jesus dying for your sin. And I knew what that meant. That He had died for me. And I knew, beloved, what He was talking about when He says, if you receive it, He'll wash your sins away. And suddenly, beloved, I felt myself drawn to Jesus. I desired Him. I wanted to know Him. I wanted to be with Him forever. You see, beloved, all that preacher said, I heard. And beloved, it meant one thing to me. He loves me. He loves me. After all that I have done, after all of my wickedness, after all of my sin, He still loves me. And He wanted to give me a place in glory in heaven. He loved me enough to take my place on that cross. Loved me enough, beloved, to take those nails that had my name written on them. He loved me enough, beloved, to suffer and to die in my place. Oh, He loved me so much. Yeah, I was attracted to Him. And I came as a poor lost sinner. And I called in faith on my knees and asked Him to save. Folks, I felt His love as He took me in. Whoa! I felt His love, beloved. And by the new birth, I was born again. And I was changed. And beloved, He wrapped His arms around me. And I felt His presence. I felt His love. Folks, the first thing is keeping in His love is to enter His love by faith. And if you haven't done that, boy, you need to do it today. You need to do it. Second, to keep yourself in His love, keep yourself consecrated. Consecrated. That's one of those words I didn't understand. What does that mean, preacher? It means, beloved, to be set apart for Him. You see, beloved, it means, listen to this, to forsake all others for Him. You got me? To forsake all others. In other words, all the other gods that's been in your life, all the other things, beloved, you push them out of your life and He becomes your God, your one and only God. Now, He consecrates you when you receive Him. But, beloved, you stay consecrated, sanctified, set apart as you, beloved, live your life. Set apart. And this is where so many Christians mess up. See, they receive Him as Lord and Savior. But beloved, they got it in their head, hey, this ain't no big deal. I can hold on to Him with one hand and hold on to the world with the other hand. I can hold on to Him with one hand and live in the flesh. I can hold on to Him with one hand and hold on to my other gods with the other hand. Well, I'm His. But I'm still going to go out and drink with my buddies. Well, I'm His. But I'm still going to go to the parties. I love the parties. I'm Him, I'm His, but I'm still going to satisfy the flesh. And I'm still going to live for the world. And I'm still going to follow the devil's crowd. Listen to me, folks. Take it from somebody who's been around for a while. And who's seen it over and over again. Beloved, it don't work. It don't work. Oh, it may work for a while, for a year, or 2 years, or 5 years, or sometimes 10 years. But sooner or later, beloved, your love for Him is going to wax cold, and you're going to start loving other things more than you love Him. More than you love Him. That's why the Bible says, crucify the flesh. That's why, beloved, the Bible tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's why, beloved, it tells us to obey Him and follow Him and serve Him. Consecrate yourself to Him and Him alone. And Him alone. Is that so hard for us to understand? You know, I'm going to use an illustration. Bud Susan. Now, before I give this illustration, I want y'all to know this is totally fictional, okay? Bud and Susan have been married for years. And they love one another deeply. In fact, they have never had an argument all these many years, right? Okay. Now, with that said, and I'm using Bud because I know Bud won't mind. And Susan won't mind. I hope. What if Bud loved Susan? And he married her. And he promised in those wedding vows to forsake all others and keep himself only unto her. Isn't that the way it goes? Come on, talk to me. Some of you hanging your head already. I promise, he says before God, to love you and to forsake all others and keep myself only unto you. But suppose, after a couple of years, one of them days when Bud's heard, Bud! 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 Suppose Bud gets to thinking about old Betsy. I wonder how old Betsy's doing. See, Betsy, beloved, was somebody that Bud used to go with a long time ago before he met Susan. This is fictional now. Y'all remember this. So he's thinking about Betsy instead of Susan. Now, beloved, listen. He ought to drive that thought from his mind. But he don't. And now his thoughts aren't consecrated to Susan. Follow me? Time goes on. And he still thinks about Betsy. And one day he's up at Walmart buying some hog galluses or something. And he hears a voice on the other aisle. And he peeps around the aisle. Guess who it is? You know, don't you? It's Betsy. And oh, his heart starts beating a little bit faster, you know. And listen, he knows, beloved, what he's been thinking about old Betsy. And he knows that he ought to walk away. But he don't. Oh, it won't hurt just to say hello. So he does. And they talk a while. And they, you know, Bud's enjoying it. Betsy looks at him after a while and she says, Bud, I sure have missed you. I've missed you. And she bats her eyes. And she says, why don't you call me sometime? Watch out, Bud. You're cruising for a bruising, brother. You see, now, beloved, she's on his mind more than ever. See what I'm saying? Now he knows, beloved, he knows what he promised Susan when they got married. He knows, beloved, he ought not to call that girl. He knows, beloved, that he should stay home with his wife, just like that Christian knows that he should be at church instead of staying home. Just like that Christian knows, beloved, that he shouldn't drink that beer. Just like that Christian knows, beloved, that he shouldn't go to those worldly places. And just like that Christian knows he should be faithful to God, he knows he should be faithful to his wife. Say, preacher, don't stop. What happened to Bud? Susan beat the tar out of him. That's how he got so ugly, beloved. You know, we can see how wrong it is for a husband not to forsake all for his wife, beloved. But why can't we see that about Christ? Why can't we see that about Jesus? That it's wrong for us not to forsake all for Him who gave His all for us. For us. But we'll hold on to Jesus with one hand and try to hold on to the world with the other. We'll bow to Him on Sunday and we'll bow to the flesh the rest of the week. I've told you before, beloved, our God is a jealous God. Amen? And He says, beloved, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And beloved, whatever you put before God, that is your God. Whether it's sports or whether it's family or whether it's friends whatever it is. Oh, listen. If you would keep yourself in the love of God, you'd love Him first. Amen?
Amen.
First. Separate yourself to Him above all. Above all. Third, to keep yourself in God's love, you have to show Him affection. Affection. Did you know, beloved, that every day God shows His love for you? Not in one way, in a thousand ways. In a thousand. Let me ask you, did you get up this morning? Somebody didn't, because somebody is sleeping. No, I'm kidding. Yes, we did. You know that was God's love? That was God's love. Did you greet your family? That was God's love. Did you, beloved, dress yourself? Did you eat breakfast? Did you, beloved, feel the sunshine when you walked out? Did you, beloved, hold your children? Listen, this is God's love. God's showing His love to you. Oh, listen, in 10,000 times, 10,000 ways, God shows, beloved, His affection for you. For you. But have you shown any affection to Him? To Him. Folks, if you are saved, now follow me, you are in a relationship with God. Do you know that? See, He just don't save you, beloved. He saves you not only from hell, but He saves you so you can have a relationship with Him. Amen? And listen, no relationship can be what it should be if there's no affection shown. Now, I'm talking to somebody right now, and they're thinking, well, preacher, I've been married for 40 years. I don't show no affection. I didn't say that. I said a relationship can't be what it ought to be, what it should be, if there's not affection shown. It just can't. It just can't. He shows you every day. Do you show Him? Well, preacher, I try. Don't come with that mess. You either do or you don't. Amen?
Amen.
You either do or you don't. There's no trying it. Let me ask you. Do you talk to Him every day? What I'm asking is, do you pray every day? Well, yeah, preacher. When I have a need, I pray. Man, that's some affection. That's some affection. Mark and I, we've been married for... Ooh, I should have gone here. 45 years. Somebody asked me the other day, said, tell Martha, we said, hey, I said, well, let me think. I'm speaking her today. I'll do it. I'll tell her. But the truth is, beloved, what kind of relationship would it be if we didn't talk? What kind of relationship would that be? It wouldn't. What if the only time that I talked to Martha was when I wanted something? I went, now don't y'all believe what she's going to tell you, because she's going to tell you that's about the way it is, but it ain't. But suppose I went 3 or 4 days and didn't speak to her. And then finally I needed something. I said, hey Martha, how about making me a sandwich? Hey Martha, how about getting my clothes out for me and laying my clothes out for me? Hey Martha, how about washing this? How about... And that was the only time I spoke to her. What kind of relationship is that?
Not much.
Some of you are under conviction right now, ain't you? Because that's the kind of relationship you got. And you know the truth is, beloved, I know Martha. She wouldn't put up with that. She wouldn't put up with that. But we expect God to put up with that, don't we, with us? I mean, we never talk to Him except when we want something. What if I never told her that I loved her? Let me ask you something. When's the last time you got at this altar or you got alone with God and you just told Him how much you loved Him? How much you loved Him? But preacher, God never tells me. Yes, He does. John 3:16. That's to you, friend. For God so loved you. Yes, He does. Listen, this whole Bible is God's love letter to you. You ought to read it sometime. He not only tells you, beloved, He shows you through all the many blessings that He gives to you. Do you show Him? Do you show Him? How can I show God I love Him, preacher? Listen to Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'm going to change that just a little bit. He said, if you love me, show me. Keep my commandments. That's how you show Him you love Him. Do you show Him? Folks, too many Christians say they love the Lord, but they never tell Him and they never show Him. Listen to me, beloved, you that are saved, you, beloved, have entered a relationship with Christ. It's a love relationship. But if you never acknowledge His love for you, by counting your blessings and reading His Word, if you never, beloved, show any affection for Him, beloved, by trying by talking to Him and telling Him, by showing Him your love, by obedience to Him. Listen to me. Your love will wax cold. And your relationship with God will grow weaker. And weaker and weaker and weaker. And you will begin to love other things more than you love Him. And one day, we'll look around and you won't be here. Yours will be the face that we remember. Yours will be the soul that we cry for. Keep yourself. Keep yourself in the love of God, Jesus. What is God's love? It's all the blessings that God bestows upon you. Keep yourself in His love, by knowing that you are converted and you are in His love, by keeping yourself set apart for Christ, forsaking all others for Him, by showing Him affection, telling Him, show Him how much you love Him. Keep yourself in the love of God. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Martha comes to the piano. Maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not saved. But I want to be in His love. I know He loves me, but I want to be in His love. I want to be saved. I want all the blessings that God wants to give me. We invite you to come. We'll show you how. How to get in His love. How to be saved. Maybe you're here and you say, preacher, I'm in His love. But I want to keep His love. Why don't you come? Maybe you just want to tell Him how much you love Him and thank Him and praise Him. Or maybe you've got family members that you're concerned about. Take them to Jesus, folks. Take them to Jesus. Whatever the reason, whatever the need, we invite you to come. We ask you to stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, have your way in every heart right now. May Thy Spirit move. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, won't you come? Come with these that are coming. Come with these. Won't you come? By the way, I didn't mention it, but do you know that these very things work in your marriage? In your marriage. Why don't you take that husband or that wife by the hand and bring them down to this altar and tell God how much you love them and how much you appreciate them. Won't you come with these? Won't you come? Won't you come? If you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, why don't you come right now? He'll change your life just like He changed mine. Just like He changed the life of every person that's here that's saved. Won't you come? Won't you come? Today could be the day. Today could be the day. If you'll just say yes to Him. Folks still coming. Folks still coming. Is God waiting for you? Is He waiting for you to come? Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come? I will arise and go to Jesus. And He will embrace me in His arms. For in the arms of my dear Savior, oh, there are 10,000 charms. Won't you come? Won't you come? Why don't you just come and tell Him you love Him? You say, preacher, I can't get out. Hey, all you got to do is ask that person next to you to step aside. They'll be glad to. Won't you come? Folks still coming. Folks still coming. God's still moving. Won't you come? Won't you come? He loves you so much. How can you turn away from love like that? How can you? How can you? Won't you come? May be seated, heads bowed, eyes closed. Let me ask, as Martha continues to play softly, is there anyone in this altar, anyone in this church, and you say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Would you lift that hand? Anyone, anywhere, just lift that hand and we'll show you what you have to do. Anyone. I wonder if there's someone at this altar or in this church and you say, preacher, I'm saved, but I want somebody to pray with me, to agree with me as we go to the Lord. I want somebody to pray for me. Would you lift that hand? Anyone, anywhere. We're going to go to the Lord on behalf of these who come. God bless you all. I love you all. God loves you even more.